Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast.
Hey.
Good evening and welcome to Tuesday night's Sick Call, hosted by Kenny Hodge from the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast. You know, week after week, I find myself on the podcast advising postal and federal employees about their injury compensation rights. And week after week, I find my email and instant messages loaded with comments about what an employee should do. Listen, to the postal employees and the federal employees who hear this podcast, you have to apply what you're hearing. I know it sounds different, but you have to take a step back from postal management, who, for whatever reason, they always appear not to be doing what's in your best interest. So me being aware of that, I align myself with subject matter experts such as Elite Medical, such as Federal Injury Centers with Chris and Jeannie, and we together collectively provide you information that you're never going to receive at work. But yet, in the midst of all claims and all claim processes, you still find yourself gravitating back to that supervisor or that postal manager who messed your claim up in the first place. I don't understand that. And let me be crystal clear when I say to you, I'm never advocating to you that you should go against postal rules and regulations. But what I am advocating to you is you have to understand that in most cases, postal management appears not to have your best interests in mind. So you have to go with other avenues, such as the Kenny Hodge Postal Podcast, such as Chris and Jeannie on their Wednesday night OWCP chat. You have to find other avenues, because I'm here to tell you that if you continue listening to postal management, in most cases relating to injury compensation, you're going to find yourself in a pretty bad way. And that's sad to say, because it is one of postal management's responsibilities to their employees. What I want to talk to you tonight about is it's one form. I know I give you a lot of CA1, CA1 for COVID, CA2s, but I want to give you one form tonight, and that form is called the CA10. Yes, the CA10, because sometimes the podcasts, the other avenues, other resource avenues that are provided to you can get overwhelming, and I understand that. But with this form we're talking about right now, the CA10, see, that's one form that'll break it down into very general categories for you, so you will understand what you are entitled to should you become injured at work. The CA10 is called What a Federal Employee Should Do When Injured at Work. And the first thing that you have to do, the first thing, report to supervisor. Every job-related injury should be reported to your supervisor as soon as possible. Now, when they say as soon as possible, just so you know, the sooner the better, but later can be greater. In other words, you have up to 3 years to file a CA1. Now, understand, it is just natural human instincts taught to postal management that if the report of injury isn't filed immediately, then they go right into suspect mode. Something's wrong. Somebody, they look at you as if you did something wrong, or you're playing a game to swindle the United States Postal Service. And that's not the case. The Department of Labor has set it up that you have 3 years to file a CA1. But I'm going to continue on the CA10. Injuries in this case also means any illness or disease that is caused or aggravated by your employment, as well as damage to medical braces, artificial limbs, and other prosthetic devices. So, again, on the CA-10, the first category they talk about, you have to report to your supervisor as soon as possible. But do not allow yourself to believe as soon as possible always means immediately. So after you have reported to your supervisor, guidance from the CA-10 tells you to obtain medical care. Now, before you seek medical treatment for a traumatic injury, ask your supervisor to authorize medical treatment using form CA-16. Now, if you are going to follow the CA-10, the CA-10's guidelines, when you ask for that CA-16, the first roadblock is going to come up. Postal management, for whatever reason, they hold on to CA-16s as if they were pieces of gold that the longer they held, the more it expanded. A CA-16, when filled out properly, lets that hospital or that treating physician know you are going to get paid. Now, I'm going to go back to the CA-10. This form may be obtained by contacting your employee agency's worker compensation personnel. Take this form with you when you seek medical treatment and provide it to your physician or hospital. You have the right to choose the physician you initially seek for medical treatment. Now, when we talk about the right to choose, once you receive emergency medical care, then you have the right to choose your own physician. You do not have to continue going to where you receive emergency medical care because that's a right afforded to you. This may be a private physician or, if available, a local federal medical officer or hospital. Emergency medical treatment may be obtained without prior authorization. Note that in occupational disease claims, now we're talking the CA-2s, the form CA-16 may not be issued without prior approval from the Office of Workers' Compensation Program. So, very important, once you receive or you sustain a traumatic injury, your managers are obligated to give you that CA-16 so that nothing gets sent to your insurance, because this is an at-work injury. If for some reason you are filing a CA-2, now the post office has a right to go to the OWCP office to get prior authorization before they give you a CA-16, only for the CA-2. Now, I'm going to continue right on with the CA-10. Hey, good evening. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good, Kenny. Sorry I'm late.
That's all right. Nice of you to join us, Rob. We're just having conversation on the CA-10. Just to bring you up to speed, I'm just letting Pulse employees know that we spend a lot of time doing research, and it's important that when we give them this information, they have to follow the instructions. And if they're not comfortable receiving the instructions from you or I, Jeannie or Chris, 99.9%, I'm sorry, or Tom out in our Columbus offices, 99% of the time, what we say to you can always be read or is always available to you on the Department of Labor's website. So it's just important that you understand that this information you're receiving, we take the time to research it so that we know we're giving you valuable information. I left off on the CA-10 with the section about filing written notices. What I'm doing, Rob, is I'm going over to CA-10. I've already talked about report to your supervisor and obtaining medical care, and we're on the file written notice portion. And on the CA-10, it reads, claim forms must be filed using the Employees Compensation Operations and Management Portal, ECOMP. Again, you hear that e-comp request coming again to you, because let the Department of Labor deal with the post office a lot more than you need to. Go to ecomp.dol.gov and register for an account. For traumatic injuries, file form CA1 within 30 days following the injury. But again, you have 3 years to file a CA1. Understand that. And I want to also say to you is if you file that CA1 past the 45 days of injury, what you give up is the opportunity to collect continuation of pay. But everything else that's associated with that CA1 is intact. For traumatic injuries, again, file the CA1 within 30 days following the injury. And for occupational disease claims, file form CA2. Once you completed the portion of the form, it will be forwarded to your supervisor, who will complete the supervisor's portion before forwarding the form for review. You will receive claim status update emails as your claim form is processed. For help filing your claim, just click on the help icon found at the top right-hand corner of the eComp website, and then click the FICA Claimant Injury Worker link. Again, I'm reading to you from the Department of Labor's form, the CA-10, and what I'm giving you is just condensed guide on what you should do should you ever become an employee injured at work. But notice, even on the CA-10, they're suggesting that you file through eComp. Again, eComp is one of those mechanisms that's afforded to federal and postal employees that we should take so much advantage of. eComp eliminates Postal Service not giving the attention deserved to your claim. But you have to be tenacious by going to the site, logging onto the site, and setting up your account so that all your injury compensation will come via online from you to the Department of Labor to the Post Office and in that cycle. Now, what I'm finding out or what I'm hearing from a lot of postal employees is once they start using eComp, postal management is giving them more forms to fill out in addition to what is required. And I want to say I'm not sure of the forms that are being asked, the additional forms that employees are being asked to complete. But I would say to you, it doesn't matter what the post office wants you to complete pertaining to your injury. Everything will be uploaded in eComp, and the post office will get it from eComp. Now, you as postal employees are the only people who can make this happen. I know a lot of times your supervisor will ask you for this form or that form, and you will hand it to them instead of uploading it in eComp because it is a little more work. But trust me and believe me when I tell you, you should take the time to put that little more work in and eliminate the process where you have to hand forms back and forth to your supervisor. Because if you do it online, you have full transparency. You can always go back to the eComp website and trace the status of your claim. But again, you have to get out of that mindset that once you start this process online, that working in concert with postal management, and when I say working in concert with them, giving them any of your forms, that you have to stop that. And I don't know any other way to say that to you. And again, don't confuse me saying to you, you have to stop giving them your injury forms with them saying to you, I'm trying to talk you into hindering an investigation, or I'm trying to talk you into anything that's not 100% correct. Every word I say to you can be traced back to the Department of Labor's website. And if you doubt me, go there yourself. Follow up on the research. Now, I'm going to get back to the CA-10 form. submit claims for COP and or compensation for wage losses. If you are disabled due to a traumatic injury, you may elect to use a continuation of pay benefit for a period not to exceed 45 calendar days or use leave. Once you fill out a CA-1, they give you an option. Do you want to use your leave or do you want to go with continuation of pay? To be eligible for continuation of pay, you must submit a CA-1 within 30 days of the injury. If disabled and claiming COP, you must submit medical evidence supporting your disability to your employing agency within 10 workdays. If you are disabled beyond the COP period and are not entitled to COP or are disabled due to an occupational disease, you may file a claim for compensation using form CA-7, again, at the ecompdol.gov worksite, or you have the option to use leave. Again, you will receive claim status updates emails as your forms are processed. A claim for compensation or disability should be submitted as soon as possible after it is apparent that you are disabled and will enter a leave without pay status. Now, again, you have to follow the rules and regulations. And if they're simple if you read them and go step by step. When you step out of order, for some reason, Department of Labor, that seems to put a greater lag time on what it is you need to get done. So in other words, they give you a specific guide on what you should do step by step. I'm saying to you, take the time, understand that guide, and then follow that guide. Medical billing. Medical providers must be enrolled with OWCP's medical billing contract to obtain payment. All providers must submit bills on standard billing forms to the London, Kentucky mailing address or online at owcpmed.dol.gov. The standard billing forms accepted by OWCP are OWCP, the 1500 HCFA, 1500 for physicians, physician therapist labs, etc., and a UB92 for hospitals. Claimants may submit bills for reimbursement on OWCP form 915 and 957. But what I want to say to you when it comes to billing, again, if you understand that when you first have that traumatic injury and you receive that CA-1, if you receive the CA-16 properly filled out at the time you receive the CA-1, all the billing will go to the post office. Now, what happens a lot of times is the post office is reluctant or just defiant in providing you with a CA-16. And most times, a lot of the billing will come to your insurance, and then you just transfer your copay back over to COP. Well, that's not the way the program is set up. A lot of times you feel just because you didn't have to pay the money that it was okay that your insurance picked up that on-the-job injury. Bottom line is it still costs you nothing, but that's not the way the system is set up. The system is set up that if you receive or if you are injured at work, that is a liability that your employer will pay for. Now, also, they also leave you – go ahead, Rob. I'm sorry.
I highly recommend that you do not give the doctor your personal health insurance information. Okay.
No.
Because
and again,
a lot of these doctors will bill your insurance before they bill workers' comp because it's less trouble for them. It takes years sometimes to get your money back. Because it's supposed to be paid by workers' comp, not your insurance. Sorry, Ken. Go ahead.
No, you're good. You're fine. and again, you know, because we say, well, it didn't cost me anything. But no, if we do it the right way, the right way is sustainable. So contacting OWCP. If you have any questions regarding your claim, you may contact OWCP at 202-513-6860. Or there's several other numbers here. But what I want you to understand, the CA-10 is a condensed roadmap telling you exactly what needs to take place. And I want you to understand that for whatever reason, I can't put my finger on it. I don't know if it's lack of training, lack of caring, but way more times than I care to respond to people about OWCP claims not being filed, not being handled right. I don't know what it is about the post office that they won't give this the attention that it deserves. So you have to, because if you work for the post office or if you are a federal employee and you don't take the time to understand your workers' compensation rights, then I can assure you your employer, in most cases, they're not going to take that time either. But the one thing I want to look at, and I definitely want to spend time, hopefully within the next couple of months, even put together a research team, postal employees do. What kind of action can we take against the Postal Service, the Post Office, for not following workers' compensation rights? You know, see, because we put these resources out. And if you are in a place where you have access to these resources, okay, you're much more ahead of the game than other employees. But for those employees who get hurt at work and the post office don't do the right thing for them, I would be extremely interested in forming a committee of like-minded people coming together with one purpose. And that one purpose and one purpose only would be, what actions can we bring against the United States Post Office for failing to file federal law? No other reason would I assemble a team, and that would be our only purpose. And I think that would be a different fight. I think that would be a different fight. I think we should shift gears, sending in 30, 40 emails, and let's link up. Let's pool our resources and form a committee of postal employees from wherever, that we sit down and draw up a roadmap on what actions we can take, legal actions we can take against the post office for not following federal law when it comes to employees being injured at work. I think that that's what the post office needs right now, because injury compensation doesn't come under the umbrella of union protection. So I would definitely invite all union leaders to be a part of a committee, a group of postal employees putting our heads together, coming up with another way to confront the post office for not following federal law. Now, this committee, we would research and we would find lawyers who would not mind taking pro bono cases maybe for postal employees who are not afforded their rights. You see, that kind of a response to the problem of the post office not doing what they're supposed to, I would be all in favor of. And think about it. If we could assemble such a committee and we could develop a roadmap for employees, I'm willing to bet you as soon as the post office understands that they no longer have the ability to just disregard employees' rights with respect to injury compensation, then they'll conform. They will conform because they understand they should conform, but no one's making them conform right now. And I'd like to be a part of a committee that makes them aware that you're going to conform to the federal law. So, Rob, you got any information or any comments that you want to add to this CA-10 form?
Give me just a second. I got to get out of my research function here. I was just looking up falsification of government documents, which a lot of this would fall under. Which it is
no.
A federal law.
No, it wouldn't. Again,
so As far as the CA-10, one thing I didn't hear you mention was obtain a receipt of notice. Obtain a receipt of notice of injury is, a receipt of notice of injury is attached to each CA-1 and 2. Your supervisor should complete the receipt and return it to you for your personal records. If it is not returned to you, ask for it. They're required to give you that receipt of notice. Because if they don't give it to you, they can say, well, I never got your form. They're lying when they do that. And since they didn't give you a receipt, you really have no way to prove it. So insist on that receipt. Oh, and one other thing as far as COP goes. When you're first injured, one of the first things they're going to do is give you a form to fill out concerning the injury. And they're going to say, do you want COP or not? And many supervisors will say, you don't want COP, do you? If you don't, then just check your leave box. They want you to take your leave instead of the COP. The COP is your right, and you should always claim it. Other than that, that's about all I had, Ken.
I appreciate those words. But again, folks, the CA-10, it's a single document. I would recommend downloading it and just keeping it on your person. And you know what? By you keeping it on your person, it may not be so much for you, but if you see other employees at work who sustain injuries, now, with this document, you now become a subject matter expert that you are more than capable of giving guidance to that employee, such as go report that injury to your supervisor. And again, that is the first requirement that you have when it comes to an injury. And being a mail handler, let me tell you something. We get little nicks and bumps throughout the day. I'm not saying that if you bump your finger, you should report an injury. But let me tell you something. If you bump your finger hard enough, maybe your nail gets a little discolored. Yes, you should report that injury. And it's unfortunate that the injuries you report will come back and sometimes hurt you when you're looking for transfers. But I got to say this to you. If I hurt myself at work, I'm not going to suffer that injury in hopes of a future transfer. Does that make sense? See, this isn't a game. Injury compensation is for employees who are injured at work. And if you're injured at work, I would strongly recommend you report that to your supervisor. And if it comes an issue for a transfer later, then we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But if you're injured, you do the right thing and report it to your supervisor. Hey, listen, this has been Ken Hodge and Robert Frost talking to you on Tuesday night's sick call. We, as employees, we have to take a firmer grasp of the reins that decide what kind of assistance we're going to get when injured at work. Make yourself available to receive knowledge, and then when you receive that knowledge, education without application is just a waste of time. So as you receive this knowledge, put it to work, and remember, I don't know why, don't really care why, but you have to understand when it comes to injury compensation, the Postal Service, in most cases, will not or do not do the right thing for their employees. So it's up to us to look out for each other. Hey, I'm going to say goodnight. And hey, Rob, thank you for joining me tonight. And we will see each other again next Tuesday night, 7 p.m.
Thank you for having me. Good night, everyone.